Ashley Coles, Executive Director of the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association.
Ashley, talk about what people have seen throughout the day today with your annual summer beef tour here in Windham.
You know, every year when it comes to the State Cattlemen's Summer Beef Tour, I'm continually amazed by the diversity of stops that we have on our tours. And so people today are going to see an example of a farm who retrofitted buildings to fit what they needed for a feedlot. They're going to see an example of a large feedlot with multiple types of housing for their cattle. They're going to see a small grazing operation where they were able to increase their grass production by 30% just by changing up their grazing habits. And they're going to see examples of public-private partnership with grazing on this tour. So there is a lot of stuff, a lot of opportunities to learn and ask questions.
When you look at these operations that are of different size and scale, are there some things that are similar across all of these farms that help make them successful? Certainly there are unique qualities to each one, but what are some of the common denominators, I guess?
Yeah, so I guess there's a few things when it comes to cattle producers that make them successful, and I don't think size is that. I think it's a drive of the farmer, right, and their ability to plan to weather, you know, markets that are good or markets that are bad, right? So what they do when markets are good to prepare for when markets are bad are really important. I also think animal husbandry, so you're going to see some really good examples of that. And that's very important when it comes to profitability and being able to continue on sustainably with your business. So I think just a combination of all those things matters more than size.
Take this however you want to. So when I say current conditions, it could be trade, it could be farm legislation, it could be the weather. When you look at current conditions and how they are impacting cattle operations and producers in the current climate, what sticks out to you, Ashley?
You know, all those things stick out. I mean, so you said trade, and that's a topic that I have had conversations on so many times today, but every day. I mean, every time I talk to somebody in the media or a member, I mean, that's one of the first topics is trade and what's going to happen. And there's just that dynamic that people don't quite either understand how trade negotiation works, or they're just flat out scared of what they're hearing. When it comes to market, so market volatility was and still is a pretty major issue that has calmed a little bit. Cattle producers have actually been able to make a little bit of money the past year or so they're happy with that, always hoping to make more. But if you make some, you could play again next year. When it comes to weather, you know, we are in the middle of where they had a lot of rain. And so riding around on those tour buses, they're seeing a lot of rain. And we were so lucky that our tour stops were not impacted by some of that flooding. So, but if you're talking to cattle producers here, I mean, everybody's in a good mood. And I think people are pretty positive about where the beef industry is and where it's going.
Too much rain here and not enough elsewhere. What's the situation with feed availability? I know there's some hay shortages in other parts of the country. So as you talk to folks that are raising cattle here in Minnesota, are they in pretty good shape?
Yeah, so as far as feedstuffs go, yeah, people are in pretty good shape here. You know, there was a loss of crop, right, with all this rain and flooding. But I don't think that was extensive to where it's going to impact feed supplies for us. It would be really nice if our folks who need some water in other states can just come up here and start sucking water out of the ditches and haul it back, if only that were feasible, right? But as far as hay shortages go, you know, there are some areas of the country that need hay, and that is impacting prices, making them go up. And so for people who rely on having to purchase hay for their cattle, yeah, that's definitely a strain on folks here in Minnesota because of that. I wouldn't necessarily contribute to weather here in our state, but yeah, weather elsewhere is impacting that.
As you look at progress on the farm bill and some of the components of the bill that are really important to the livestock industry, I would think the foot and mouth disease vaccine bank would be one. What are you paying closest attention to as the farm bill hopefully gets moved here as the conference committee begins shortly?
Yeah, so that's our number one issue is that foot and mouth vaccine bank. So we were a little disappointed on the House version where it was fully funded for the first year, but not fully funded after that. But even more disappointed on the Senate side where there really was no specific funding for that. So we're hoping in conference committee that there's a happy medium, hopefully more so taking the side of the House version of the bill. Other issues that we were looking at within the farm bill are CRP acreage. You know, we don't have policy that called for a cap, but more so wanting to have grazing be a more meaningful part of that management with CRP. And I think that is something that the House side did pretty well. And then research is important for us, you know, for anybody in agriculture here in the U.S. Research to be more innovative and more efficient in what we do is a pretty high priority.
Back to FMD, you mentioned that most of the producers you talk to, they want to talk about trade. Does FMD come up very much?
Kind of. The way FMD kind of comes up when we talk about trade goes back to traceability, right? So having an animal disease traceability system is really important. And when we talk about that, it's pretty polarizing. Like animal ID is polarizing with a lot of people, specifically in the beef industry. But the way that our state cattlemen's policy looks at traceability is we look at traceability for disease purposes only, right? So helping in the event of a foreign animal disease outbreak, not necessarily as foreign access. I mean, that's a byproduct of it, but we're looking at traceability as important to protect our herd here, you know, in Minnesota and in the U.S.
We talked shortly after you returned from a trip to Asia, and since that time, we've now seen China impose some retaliatory tariffs on U.S. agricultural goods, and you know, there's a market with beef just getting back into China, a setback certainly. What's your outlook on that front?
Yeah, so we were pretty disappointed to hear that those tariffs are actually going to put into place, because it looked pretty bright when we first got back from China that maybe that wouldn't happen. And just from the perspective of just being there and you're looking at U.S. beef in the meat case, right next to beef from, you know, Australia or South America, U.S. beef is far and away the most expensive already. And so adding tariffs to that is hopefully not going to price us out of all markets there in China, but it will definitely price us out of the market in some places.
Anything else on your mind that you want to make sure we talk about today?
No, I mean, we're here at the tour with, you know, 1,000 fellow cattlemen, and, you know, everybody is happy to be here. Next year's tour will be in the Morris area, the first Monday and Tuesday after the 4th of July again. So already gearing up for 2019 tour.
All right, Ashley, thanks for your time.
Thank you.